day, Marcus and Devin reunite to walk down memory lane, return to Destiny 2 and Prey, then give some long overdue opinions of our own regarding Philip Newson and plagiarism. All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle. Hello, and welcome to Trust Circle, episode 35, Top Shelf Gaming's number one and only podcast. I am your host, as always, Devin Valdivia, and I am joined, as always, by Marcus Garrett. Just get it over with.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis.
Thank you.
Feels good to say that again.
It feels good to hear it. The last time I heard you say it was on a different podcast, and you freaked them all out.
I did. They weren't ready for it.
They weren't ready. So, Marcus, it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been
a couple weeks.
It's been over a year. Our last podcast was June 29th, right after E3 2017. I just looked it up.
Yeah. Like I said, a couple weeks.
Nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. It's nice being here and the same hot room in our same square with all four of us. It's going great.
Nothing at all has changed.
A lot has changed. Let's quickly just give a last time on Trust Circle. What are some things that have happened? Let's go back and forth. I'm in Oregon now.
I live in the same place, but downstairs.
I have my own microphone.
I don't have my own room.
Valerie is not here.
Melanie is not here.
It's true. Anything happened with you and Melanie in the past year and 4 weeks?
Yeah, we got engaged.
Aw, shoot. There's no content about that online or anything, is there?
Well, actually, if you go to Top Shelf Gaming YouTube channel, you can see a video of our proposal. That was aided in part by Jared Petty from Hot Blip and A Jump and Kinda Funny, and who also still does some freelance stuff for IGN.
I like that man.
He's a very nice man.
He's like a big teddy bear with opinions.
That's pretty accurate.
So it's just the two of us. Valerie is currently at work. She still works at Trader Joe's just now up in Portland, because we're no longer in Orange County. Evan is somewhere. I don't even know where Evan is.
Evan's in London with his girlfriend. And also, that's a big change for him. He got a girlfriend.
He got a girlfriend. And he's in London. Is he in London forever?
No.
He's just visiting.
Yeah.
Got it.
And he graduated college since we last spoke.
He's a real boy now.
He's a real boy, yeah. He's got a job at a game studio. Actually, I do too. So
what?
That's another change.
So Taco Bell started getting into game dev? Is that what?
Taco Bell actually, last year at PAX, they did the Taco Bell arcade, so kind of.
Technically.
But
you're no longer there.
No, I have left the Bell. I'm actually like a 1 minute drive away from where I used to work. I'm now at Blizzard Entertainment.
Oh, dang. You got there first try. Easy. Just walked in the door, said, hey, give me a job. And they were like, yes, we'll do it.
Basically.
Yeah.
That and I waited 4 years and applied to like 20 different positions. But you know what? It finally worked out. And I'm really happy to be there. And it all kind of comes full circle because this podcast was unofficially an Overwatch podcast. So
it really was. That's kind of how it started. That's kind of what it was most of its run. That was one of the big reasons Valerie was here at all to begin with.
It's true. And now I'm working for the Overwatch League. And so it's all just like
one big trust circle. Like we planned it.
Yep.
It was the ploy all along. Okay, well, there's still been, you know, obviously we've been quiet, but there's been video reviews and video features and written reviews and games of the month all over topshelfgaming.net.
It's true. we haven't been podcasting, but we've been doing a whole lot of other things. I think the site has changed in a lot of really good ways. I don't know if we had our old, like, I don't know what our site looked like when I'm pretty sure I made the new branding.
The new branding is after, I believe. I think that was like winter.
Yeah. So the site looks different if you haven't been there since this last podcast. That's whole new branding. We're also doing video. It had to have been last summer.
Yes.
Because
that's when you launched the video stuff.
Because when we started making videos, I wanted branding.
Yeah.
I wanted the new branding to launch with our first video.
So probably just missed it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just kind of like right in that, like, we stopped the podcast and I've pivoted to working on our first video. I did. And it's something that I've wanted to do since the beginning of Top Shelf Gaming. Video is my background. I've been making videos since I was 10 years old. And I've always wanted to do it for Top Shelf Gaming, but for its first 3 years, it's always just been written content and podcasts, which are things that I do enjoy. But I got to say, it feels really, really good to be making some sweet bits.
Yeah, the latest vid that came out just this past week was February, whenever the Shadow of the Colossus remaster, remake, re-release came out, Rekindle. You and Evan and I all played through it, sat down, and then ranked all the Colossi, all 16 of them, and made a list. That list and ranking and video all just came out. You and Evan worked on it. Evan did a lot of it. And it came out super great. I think it showcases a lot of what we kind of always wanted to do with some older stuff in Top Shelf Gaming. We never really quite hit it the way we wanted to.
Yeah.
But it's super great. The editing is nice. The writing is awesome. The video graphics, I feel like, have finally come into like their full, it feels like what you've envisioned it being since you kind of started building it up last summer.
Yeah. It's like, we've talked about it for so long. And, as we've released different products and like different series, we had Celebrity Me Tomo, which was a blast. We started doing video reviews and you know, I love making graphics, animated graphics. Like, that's why I chose to go to the school that I went to for college, so I could get better at that specifically. And while my direction didn't really go there, I started kind of focusing on other things. Like, it's cool to see how it all works together, from the video background to the animation background, and then learning graphic design and seeing how that all works together to just kind of make a brand. And it feels weird saying that, because I still feel in many ways just like the small thing, but at the very least, I can say that Top Shelf Gaming has an identity. Mm-hmm. And I think that identity is pretty rad.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, and you've had, and we've discussed, you know, so many different ideas of things that you envisioned and thought were maybe possible, and kind of, you know, we've taken a couple steps toward, then backed off or set by the wayside. But this last rebranding was pretty much all you and all your vision. You finally just, you know, said, we need something, I'm gonna take the reins on it, and you did it. You know, I remember that first review you did for it was that puzzle game, can't remember the name of it, but
yes,
yeah, that one. You know, go find it on Top Shelf Gaming's YouTube channel.
You know what, no, we need to know.
it's
gonna bug me.
It's a long title.
You were making a good point, and I stopped it because of.
Well, no, I remember watching that first video.
Oh, Zing.
Yes.
Yes.
you know, that very long title, Zing.
Zing, The Land Beyond.
Yes.
Is the full title.
But I remember watching that video and, you know, talking to you while you're creating it and editing it and kind of working through how you kind of wanted Top Shelf Gaming videos and reviews to kind of look like. And seeing it come out, and like, it was impressive, but in talking with you, you know, it was kind of a battle just to get it to that point.
Yeah.
And now seeing that, and then seeing all of the Celebrity Mutomo work that you did, that was an insane undertaking that I can't even begin to fathom. You're making like virtual green screens and capturing things off iPads and iPhones, and that was madness.
I should never do anything like that ever.
But then, you know, this last video, you know, it's a full feature. It's, you know, it doesn't feel like it's being chopped up to be something that can just get out the door. Like, it's what we want it to be. It's got, you know, the transitions where you want them. It's got the writing, you know, as tight as you envisioned being. And so, yeah, I mean, just looking back at everything Top Shelf Gaming has been, where it is now, and, you know, the things we've been talking about recently about kind of the ways it can go in the future. It's been kind of cool to be kind of half in, half on the sidelines, kind of as both an insider and as just an admirer.
You've literally been there from the beginning.
I've been there, but
in some capacity,
in some capacity with several asterisks. But yeah, so I mean, basically all this to say, Top Shelf Gaming has not been doing nothing for the last year, just the podcast.
Yeah.
So check it out. That said, games have also been not doing nothing the past year. A lot of stuff has come out. We have no time to talk about all of that. What have you been up to recently as far as gaming goes?
I've been buying a lot of games. And trying to play a lot of games. I'm enjoying a period of just, what's the word? It's not like apathy, but of just like disregard, I guess. I'm just kind of like buying games more freely. They're all like indie games, they're all mm-hmm. like under $20, but I've just been like, that looks cool. I'll just get it. And so I've just been trying a lot of things because there's been a lot of things that have been coming out lately that have just been kind of in my wheelhouse. Like, I really love platformers. I really love Metroidvanias. And like, for whatever reason, the last couple months have just been like full of these kinds of games. So right now, I'm working through Guacamelee 2, that came out this last week. Started Hollow Knight.
Hollow Knight.
Dead Cells, which we'll get to.
We'll get to Dead Cells.
And I actually went back to Destiny. And so I've been playing Destiny 2, and there's this event going on, and it's actually really frustrating. Because it ends on Tuesday. It started like August 1st or July 31st, you know, just beginning of the month, mm-hmm. whatever. And I've been playing a little bit, just like trying to get this armor that it gives you. So it gives you this really weak armor, and you have to do all of these tasks in order to power it up, but then if you're able to do that, you have the highest level armor that you can get. And with the new A expansion starting, it's a chance to like get yourself powered up and like ready for the new challenges. And so I restarted Destiny on PC, so I was really behind. And then so this was perfect for me as a chance to get myself ready for the new A expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been leveling up. I finally got I did all of my tasks, and then I powered up my armor and realized that you have to power it up twice. So when you get your task done, it gives you armor that's like halfway powerful, and you have to do a harder set of challenges in order to get the full level armor.
Are they different challenges or the same ones but harder?
They're like the same but harder. So some of the challenges are like get 10 kills in multiplayer player, and then the hard version is like get 5 wins.
Okay.
So it's like you have to like actually you like can't just participate. You have to like actually win and be successful. And so it's just kind of like that. And so it's doable, but I spent the first 3 weeks getting to that halfway point, and now I have just 3 days left to do the whole
thing. To do that again.
And if I don't get that dang armor, I'm going to be so mad. But yeah, I'm having a lot of fun.
Well, I'm glad someone's having fun with Destiny 2, because I haven't played that thing since before the first expansion came out.
Yeah, I mean, me and you played it for like the first week, and we had a great time.
We had a really fun time when we played it, and then it just fell off a cliff, it seemed.
Well, like, other things just came out.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, as soon as the first thing else that, like, came, like, we just...
Just moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad I tried it. I'm glad that I actually experienced what it was. I enjoyed it while I enjoyed it. It's just, you know, they have added things. You know, they've had several DLC packs, or expansion packs, rather. It seems like some have hit the mark more than others. And, like, I'm glad to see that they're still working on it. It'd be a real bummer to see them just kind of abandon it. Yeah. So I'm glad they're still working on it, and I'm glad that you're getting some fun out of it, because, you know, games are expensive, so it's nice when you can go back to one. And have some fun. Kind of on that note, well, you know me, I have too many games.
You compulsively buy
since
games.
I compulsively buy games, but I'm usually not stupid about it. Most of the games I buy are on sale. It's just that whenever there is a sale, I usually buy at least a game. Since the last episode of Trust Circle, I have purchased a PlayStation 4 Pro. You know, in pretty much every major release to come out in the time since we last recorded. not all, but some. Right now I'm kind of in this weird spot where I'm mostly just waiting for games to come out. Spider-Man comes out in less than 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
A month after that, we have Soul Calibur 6, and then a couple days after that, we have Red Dead Redemption in November.
I can't believe Soul Calibur 6 even made the list.
I love Soul Calibur. I'm a little worried they might not have changed enough compared to the amount of time it's been since the last Soul Calibur. But I'm still excited to see what it is. Red Dead Redemption 2. Been waiting for that game since 2008, so, you know, November Hitman 2 comes out, which is going to be awesome. They just announced that all of the Hitman 1 content is going to be ported over into the Hitman 2 system, so
which is good, because I sucked at that first one, but like I want to try it.
Yeah, so you have to purchase the Hitman 1 content previously, so it's not for free. I'm sure they'll release like a Hitman 2, Hitman 1 collection, whatever.
Yeah.
But I bought the game when it came out, like I did. So, you know, they're upgrading, you know, all the features, improved visuals, mechanics, AI, all that stuff, which is super cool, because that was kind of their vision from the beginning before, you know, Square shut them down and they bought them out and kind of had this whole Phoenix scenario where they still exist somehow. So I'm very excited for that. There's some other stuff coming out too, but I'm kind of just in this weird spot where, like, I don't want to get too invested in some games, because as soon as Spider-Man comes out, like, that's just where I'm at. But one of the games I have been revisiting recently is Prey. I was talking to you about this a little bit ago. So I bought Prey, surprise, surprise, when it came out. I will say that I love Arkane's games. Dishonored is one of maybe the best game in my opinion, of The Last Generation.
Wow.
Which is a big thing to say because there were a lot of amazing games Last Generation. But
there
I love Dishonored.
Knack 2.
I don't know. I got Knack 1 with PS Plus. Maybe I'll play it one day. Who knows? But Prey is its own weird thing. I won't go into the history of it, but I bought Prey when it came out. And I liked it a lot, but the combat was always, like, the weakest part. It was, like, this, like, survival, horror, story-driven, narrative, you know, twist, drama, thriller thing. The world is great because Arkane makes great worlds. That's, like, the one, that's the thing they do. That's what they're known for. You know, Dishonored was an amazing, super built-out, intriguing world with all these unique characters and ideas and themes. Arkane's the same, just in space.
Prey?
Yes, sorry, Prey. So I got really into it when it first came out, played it for like a week, got maybe a third into the game, but then just kind of got stuck in this very specific combat encounter. Like, it wasn't very hard, it was just tedious. Mm-hmm. And like, just I ran into some bug stuff and just kind of walked away because something else came out. But I went back to it and I started a new game and just turned the difficulty all the way down past easy. So they had some update a while back where they added an even lower difficulty than easy. I think it's just called story mode.
Oh.
And so you're not invincible, but you can just kind of take damage and stuff. But I don't think it like limits the number of enemies. I think it gives you more resources. It definitely just throws health packs at you. And so like, yes, it definitely makes the combat easier, but it doesn't seem like it's like dumbing down the AI of the enemies. And so for me, what that means is I can invest however much time I want into the combat and into that like that tension of this like push and pull, you know, hide and seek thing that the game is going for. If I want to feel that, I just don't use health packs. You know, I don't rush in. I choose not to rush in with a shotgun and just, you know, blow them away. You know, I choose to hide. I choose to play timidly or whatever. But it means I won't get stuck on those combat scenarios getting in the way of the story. Because the story is great. The world building is great. There's so many just like computer terminals and letters and notes and like just little hidden secret, just like set piece things. And with a difficulty just all the way down, I can just soak all that in without getting that sense of dread. It's like, oh God, what's around the corner? That I'm going to just, you know, rip my mind out of like being stuck in the story to deal with a stupid alien that just stands in my way. And it's been awesome. And now, like, I've gone back to other games and just, you know, turn the difficulty down just a little more. And it's fine. It's fine. I feel like a lot of my friends in high school and even in college, some of them, they kind of took this pride in, like, oh, I play all the tough games. Like, I'm hardcore. And I'm not good at games. And I'm nearing as much as I buy them, I'm okay at video games. I'm not great at games. I've never been great at video games. And I don't have time to get good at them anymore. You know, I have a lot to play. I also, you know, have a full-time job. I've got a wife. I've got a really annoying, needy cat to take care of. And I do like doing other stuff, believe it or not. And so I'm realizing way too late in my life, you know, at my old age of 28, I'm just over the hill, that I can, like, I'm spending enough money and time on these things that I might as well play them the way that I get the most out of them.
Yeah.
And so if that means, you know, putting it on baby mode, like, fine, I'm cool with that. So that's kind of been my thing. I've been playing everything else in between. Onrush, Watch Dogs, going back to Hitman, Far Cry 5, which is a super bummer. I can't get started talking about the game or I will not stop. Oh, God. Battlefront 2, Ghost Recon Wildlands, Assassin's Creed Origins. I'm also been playing Dead Cells. You know, I'm everywhere. But that's...
None of those games have basically crossed over with, like, any of the stuff that I've been playing. Except for those last two.
We really need a game that we can really play together. No Man's Sky, that's a whole other thing that I can't get into or I'll never go anywhere else. They had a huge update, and that's, you know, it's not a whole new game, but it's a much better game now. It's a much prettier game now. Yeah, I don't know. God of War. Jeez, God of War.
Oh, God of War. Oh, that was a game.
That was a heck of a game.
I always thought I was going to platinum it. I was so hyped on it. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get every last thing. And then the fast travel system wasn't good enough. And I'm like, you know what? It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, they just released New Game Plus mode for that. Mm-hmm. So I beat the game way more recently than you beat it when it kind of came out. I beat it mm-hmm. like a month or two ago.
Yeah, because I was going to review it, and then I just never did. Like, I have the whole game captured.
That's a lot of gigs of sweet, rippling dad bod.
It's a lot of gigs.
Yeah, that game's real good. They just released a New Game Plus mode. So I'm considering, rather than doing the end game content now, just restarting and just kind of rushing through a New Game Plus and then dealing with it all then. I don't know. Spider-Man's coming out, so I don't know if I have time to go through God of War again.
Spider-Man is when this year turns.
After Spider-Man is just kind of when things just start all falling into place. Even then into next year, you know, you have Metro Exodus coming out, you have Anthem coming out, there's like a bunch of games coming out like on one day. One day Dreams will come out, and that'll be a very good day
for you.
Yes, the beta is supposed to come out this year. We'll see.
Let's see if we can make sure that you get that beta.
Yeah, we'll see. So I don't know, is there anything else you want to hit on that we've either been doing or has been going on recently before we kind of move into kind of the reason we're here?
You know what? I think we covered it.
I mean, we definitely didn't, but we didn't cover a year's worth of games, but
we covered the big beats. There's,
yeah.
It would take a year's worth of podcasts to cover a year's.
We don't have enough LaCroix for that.
No, we don't have any, which is very upsetting.
All right, well, take a quick break, and then we'll jump in and beat this dead horse some more. We'll get our swing at the pinata.
You know what? I have plenty of more punches left that I can give to you.
That's the thing. That's there's more to say.
I'm gonna go strap on my gloves, and I'll see you back in a little bit.
All right, sounds good. And we're back. We went very far. Marcus is doing a sweet dance. I wish dance was audible. I suppose if you did it hard enough, it'd be audible.
I think it can be audible because I'm on an exercise ball.
Oh, okay. I see that. I recognize those bounces.
Yeah, that's why I'm so jumpy.
You're not in my apartment for me to stop you. No one can tell you no now.
No one can tell me no. And Melody's not here to remind me that I can lacerate myself again, like last year's Christmas party.
Oh, great. Speaking of cuts, let's cut to this story.
It's a good transition. You still got it.
I still got it. They're still just as good as ever. Okay. So we're going to talk about Philip Mewson. If you know what that means, you're probably groaning inside because everyone, including everyone's grandmother, has been talking about Philip Mewson. And we know this. But one, haven't talked about it. Yeah,
especially Philip Mewson's grandmother.
She just won't shut up about it.
She is a chatty Cathy, even though her name's Gertrude.
So, yes, we know this is well-trodden ground, but we think there are some things to talk about that are not... I'm not going to say they haven't been talked about, but they haven't been talked about enough, so we're going to do it.
I just want to get some things off my chest. Yeah, you know?
We have some things to say. So for those of you who do not know what Philip Mewson means, Philip Mewson is a name of a person, of a man. He had a YouTube channel where he did some games coverage, you know, like everyone else seems to have these days. He was then hired on by IGN to He became a member or host? Was he host or just a member of the Nintendo Voice Chat, Marcus?
He was the new host.
Okay, so became the new host of their Nintendo podcast and was their Nintendo editor?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So he was basically like Mr. Nintendo at IGN. They brought him on board and, he did some podcasts, did some written features. Along comes Dead Cells. Dead Cells is a Metroidvania roguelike. Won't go into those terms because Valerie's not here to ask what they are. We have no word of the week. Dead Cells game comes out. He's in charge of the video review. It's his first video review that he's edited. I know that much is true. I don't know if it's first video review. We're trying to be very specific with our facts here, and you'll find out why soon. So his video review comes out. I watch it that morning. Seems like a good review. They give it a really high score. Fine.
9.7.
9.7. Awesome.
I want to point out specifically, and I'll tell you why later.
Okay. Interesting. Things I don't even know. So the review comes out, 9.7. Great. Awesome. I buy the game that morning. A couple hours later, another YouTuber, much smaller channel, independent guy named Boomstick Gaming, he posts a video saying, "Hey, just noticed IGN's video sounds an awful lot like mine. I don't know what to do about that." He just posts a video that kind of compares like three or four different sections of both the reviews. His review had come out a week earlier. So he posts, "Here's what I said in my review. Here's what Philip said in his review." And if you are familiar with the concept of plagiarism in the slightest, there's no question. It's not word for word. It is very much phrase for phrase. And there are some specific phrases that do just get transferred over. Some people aren't convinced. Those people are wrong. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I think plagiarism for some people literally means it has to be word for word, like whole paragraphs. This was not that. This was not that. But no, it is inarguably plagiarism. Anyways, that comes out, gets on Twitter. Everyone is freaking out about it. IGN almost immediately, very quickly pulls the review, says, this seems weird. We're investigating. We'll follow up. A day later, 2 days later, just the next day.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure next day.
They come back, say, "We looked into it. There were more similarities than we could reasonably account for. We've let Musen go. We'll re-review the game. We are so sorry to Boomstick Gaming. They talk about working with him to make things right. I don't know, crediting him, providing some, monetary compensation for whatever. I don't know how these things work. But they jump on it. They deal with it. Meanwhile, Boomstick Gaming, pretty chill with the whole thing at that point. He's saying, "I don't wish the guy harm. Just I would like credit for my review. Thanks for copying me. That's I'm glad you liked my work enough to take it." So that happens. Everyone's like, "Oh, that sucks." A couple days later, whatever that Friday was. So Tuesday, the game probably came out. Friday, Philip releases his response video.
And prior to this, a couple things happened.
Yeah, fill me in.
So one, they re-review Dead Cells, and it gets a 9.5.
Oh,
so,
interesting.
So the score actually was lowered, which is just like. That's something else that we could just have a discussion on its own, but that just kind of sucks.
I would say they probably just told I forget the name of the guy who did the re-review. They probably just told him like, "Do your thing, do your review, ignore everything about this review," and he probably just thought it was 9.5.
Yeah.
Which like if anything like I kind of like to see that the score did change. Sucks for Dead Cells that technically now their Metacritic score is a little bit lower, but like it's a 9.5. Like the game's great.
It's still
it's a great game,
an awesome game. But it just
that is interesting. That's funny.
And then before this, like you mentioned that it's Friday. Since
oh, you're right. Yes, I missed this whole part. This is context.
There was just radio silence from Philip on Twitter. Everyone's like,
his most recent tweet was, "Hey, I'm really excited for my video review to come out tomorrow."
Yeah. It's like his like last five tweets were like, "Oh, I'm playing Dead Cells."
Yeah.
Oh.
And reiterating, this is my first video review that I am editing myself.
Yeah. It's I don't know. It's just like everything around this was just so weird.
You couldn't have written it.
Yeah. No. You couldn't have. And it was just none of this needed to happen. I don't know.
No.
I'm so mad about all this still.
The thing, and we'll talk about this, you know, after we kind of get through the whole thing, that, like, everyone's just confused. Like, why would you do this with a review?
Yeah.
Like, of all the things you would possibly feel the need to take someone's word for, like, it's a review. It's literally just, what did you think about this? It should be the easiest thing to just give your own opinion on. Anyways, also before the review, Jason Schreier at Kotaku had written an article about it and kind of mentioned there were some questions involving a review that Musen had done prior to joining IGN for FIFA 17, 18?
I think 17.
Okay.
Maybe whatever
the most recent one besides the one coming out is. Whatever.
18.
It would have been 18 because it's the years. Ugh, sports games, they're fun. there were now allegations that he had plagiarized parts of that review from Nintendo Life. So that had also come out before Philip Musen's video response, which came out Friday.
And that reviewer of that Nintendo Life review was out for blood.
Yes, he was much more upset about it than Boomstick was.
He's out to get Philip.
Yes.
Like I even like tweeted him. I was mm-hmm. like, why are you so like, you know, like he's already been fired. He's already been humiliated.
It's done.
Yeah.
It's done. It's taken care
of. And then like the guy said, I don't care if he got fired. Like, this is my work, and it's personal now. And like, I want to make sure that I'm compensated or like justice is served. So, I don't know. Yeah,
I saw that tweet exchange. So all of this happens Friday. Philip releases his video, which I can only describe as the most generic apology video I've maybe ever seen. The past 2 years have been, you know, open season for bad video apologies, and this one is kind of the new golden standard for that.
But it's so good.
It's so good.
Do you know what's great about this, about his apology? Is that even his apology mm-hmm. was plagiarized.
Yeah. So imagine, if you will, the video opens on an empty chair. Actually, did he walk in? I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. He took the video down. So we'll get to that part too. He comes in. He sits down. He sighs. He's like, okay, guys. I know you all been waiting for my response. And here it is. The only people he apologizes to in the video is IGN, his co-workers. He does not apologize to Boomstick. He does not admit that he plagiarized any part of the review. He spends about 30 seconds patronizing Boomstick, saying, I remember I got started as a small YouTuber, so, you know, I just say, hang in there, man. Just keep doing your thing. You're doing great. Yeah, clearly he's doing great because you stole from him.
Yeah.
So just patronizes him, completely sidesteps around, you know, even the idea that he did something wrong, says that this is what he does for all of his work and reviews. He does all the research he can. He looks into every source of everything and makes it seem like this is just what normally happens.
And he just kind of said like, I take full responsibility for what happened.
Yeah.
But he never says what happened. He never says the word plagiarism. He never says I messed up. He just says I take full responsibility.
He's like as head of the editor on this piece, it's almost like he's framing it as like it was someone else's mistake, but because he was the one in charge, like he's going to be the guy to step up and take the hit because the buck stops here. And yeah. Like, nah, dude, the buck is just all you. Like, there is no stopping it. It's just you. So he does all that. And then, and this is the thing that I still can't comprehend. And it, so he specifically calls out Kotaku and Jason Schreier over the article they wrote accusing him of the FIFA review. And he flat out denies that, that was plagiarized. I think his words were, and that's just not the case.
Yep. And it's just not the case.
It's just not the case. And I feel a little bad mocking the guy, but I also, like you, I'm just so incensed by this. And so he challenges Jason Schreier to keep digging, to see what he can find.
And if you don't know who Jason Schreier is, he is who I would consider the most prolific video game journalist, like actual journalist, like with a degree, who's actually reporting news, like in this industry.
Yeah, like you can think what you want of Kotaku, but like people who hate Kotaku for all the reasons people hate Kotaku for, you know, still will openly and easily admit Jason Schreier is like he knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So Philip calls out basically the Dan Rather of video games to look into his closet and see what he can find. So that's exactly what happens. that's exactly what happens. And over the weekend, people just keep finding more and more and more reviews, pieces, write-ups that have just been like even worse than the Dead Cells thing. Marcus, sum up a few of these. There were several.
There were so many. So he did this one preview. What was the game? I can't remember the game.
The Metroid 3DS game.
Yes. Metroid he stole from Forbes. He did this one preview for this game that he like stole copy from the game itself. Like,
that was like, Innerspace. Lifted...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he gave Innerspace a mediocre review. And as soon as that hit, like Innerspace sales kind of tanked.
Yeah, so that's the part where
his review was plagiarized. So like he stole someone else's review and like didn't score it well, and it financially affected this other studio.
Yeah, and I responded to the developer because he was tweeting about that. I responded to him because I remember Innerspace coming out. I had seen it about a week before it released and thought, oh, that looks really cool. It's like, you know, it looks kind of like Bound or Abzu, you know, that sort of like artsy.
And like
style.
No Man's Sky, but like
yeah.
A little less budget.
And so I was interested in it. I remember reading the IGN, no idea who Philip Mewson is at this point, reading the review and being like, oh, okay, like I guess it wasn't as good as I thought it was. And that's the review that got me just to ignore the game. So after finding out that Philip was the one who had written that review, I just bought the game. I just went and bought the game. I tweeted the developer, said, look, I bought the game. The game's okay. Like it's not a great game, but like that wasn't the point. The point was that like it was like for me personally. I won't even speak for anyone else. Just for my personal own self. Like specifically, Philip's review was the reason why I didn't buy Innerspace when it came out. If I had not seen a review, I probably would have been like, okay, whatever. I'll roll the dice on it. But it's because I saw that review that morning. I was like, I'll hold off. So that sucks. And like,
sucks.
You, like, it doesn't matter how good the game was. Like, his work specifically prevented me from giving that developer money that I would have given otherwise.
Yeah.
That's a bummer. There was a piece he wrote before the Nintendo Switch came out covering the HD Rumble, and this one's the craziest one to me.
Yes.
Because he has a video, and he's talking about, you know, his theory behind how HD Rumble works, because Nintendo made a big deal about, oh, it's not like regular Rumble. You can feel the ice cubes and count things. Okay. So Philip makes this video on his own YouTube channel at this point, talking about, you know, I think it's electromagnets, and I think it's working this way and that way. He actually did this. He just took a comment that someone had written on a NeoGAF forum discussing HD Rumble, and literally, I think there's like one or two words that are like exchanged for something else.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is an entire like paragraph and a half that is word for word just read in his video.
Yep.
At no point does he say NeoGAF commenter, I think it's like Kartha or something like that, you know, says it was, I believe, I think, this is my theory.
Yeah.
Which is just unbelievable.
And it's crazy.
And it goes against what he himself said in his video about him doing research.
Yep.
Because there's almost a point you could make. I say almost because you can't really make it. But there are people who believed him when he said, I do research. And so, like, okay, you can see he looked at reviews, which you shouldn't do. And it just kind of, you know, those things stuck in his mind. And he just happened to have a similar opinion and then build his review in the same exact order and have the same, whatever. But, like, to just copy something word for word and repeat it using the first person tense, like,
it's so bad.
You can't defend that.
Yeah.
You just can't. His LinkedIn profile, which is a copy and paste of a resume template. Again, just word for word.
That's crazy.
And again, that's one of those things where, like, it's 100% plagiarism, but it's also something that I'm sure happens all the time. Because LinkedIn, sure. I don't understand LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is dumb. Maybe that'll prevent me from ever getting hired from someone who uses LinkedIn. I don't know. I'm sure that happens a lot. But, like, it's one of the things where just, like, on top of everything else, just like, oh, okay.
It's like you couldn't even write your own resume.
He ripped off copy from another IGN staffer's write-up for Octopath Traveler. Musin wrote some piece about Octopath Traveler and took copy from the review that someone else had done at IGN.
He stole from his own company. Hold on, I wanna go back to the HD Rumble.
Yeah, please do.
Plagiarism thing. Because here's one more bit of information you may or may not have heard, is that the guy who wrote that comment on NeoGAF was just joking. he was just like making it up and just like pretending to sound smart or pretending to sound pretentious, but like, yeah. So, man,
it's electromagnets like Apple uses.
Just layers to everything. I think speaking of IGN, like it's been so interesting to see how the IGN staff has, coped and like spoken up about certain things or spoken up about we're working with him. I'm sure you'll share about some of the things that you've read that have been most impactful to you, but the person that stands out to me is a games media person named Lily
Hers is the one that definitely hit the hardest.
Yeah, and like she basically was like, you know, Philip was new, I could tell that he was like really struggling, and he would always ask me for help. He was starting to lead the NVC podcast, and I would prepare notes for him. I would give him talking points. I would do all these things, and like I would help him out every week. And then I stopped working there, and he said we would keep in touch. And that he would have me back on. And when I asked to be on, like, as soon as I didn't work there, and I, like, he just turned his back on, like, on me. And that's no notable for two reasons, and I'm sure I paraphrased some of that wrong, because that was like last week and in tweets, whatever. So you can go read her tweets, like, they're all there. But the two things, like, how he uses and treats people, and kind of, like, dismisses them if they can no longer, like, offer him quote unquote value. And then two is the revelation that he has been asking other people to do work for him. And this actually keeps on popping up. I don't remember who, but another IGN person posted his DMs with Philip when they were working together. So Philip was going to interview the developers for Octopath Traveler. And he messages his coworker and was like, hey, I'm going to interview these people. Can you help me think of some questions? And this guy gave him like seven questions. And Philip says, great, this is really helpful. These are all great. You just saved me so much work.
Literally.
He literally says, you just saved me so much work. And I don't know if the review is still, or if the interview is still on IGN, but, like, you can see that he asked all of those questions still. And it's just like, what did this guy do? Like, what did he actually work on?
Yeah. There's every chance the review actually might not be up there, because IGN, after getting more, you know, after all started coming out, they realized we have to just scrub this guy from our site.
Yeah.
Because he's just a huge liability, and having, you know, so they're going through and just removing all of the stuff he's written and done. And they said, they'll, you know, if it's reviews and things, they'll re-review, they'll recover some of these stories, but some things are just lost. Yeah. I'm sure it's happened before in other, you know, news sites, but I can't think of a time where it's happened, at least recently, in the gaming industry. Because it's one of those things where you're just like, who does this?
Yeah.
Who does this at this large of a scale? And, you know, that's kind of where you and I have sort of taken our, you know, kind of one-on-one discussion of it. It's just like, this is not normal. This isn't even close to normal.
No.
And, you know, and of course, the whole time the guy's getting a bunch of, you know, personal harassment. You know, in his apology video, he's saying, you know, people are attacking my family, going after my family. Personally, I haven't seen any of it, but I'm not looking for it. You know, so I'm not saying, I am sure it's happening. And that all sucks. Like, that's a whole separate issue. And, like, that's unacceptable on its own. And, you know, is crappy, and that's the worst part of the internet that comes out every time anyone has a reason to attack somebody. Like, it happens. Like, that's how the internet works, and it's terrible and it's awful, and I wish it didn't. But none of that, you know, takes away Philip's own actions.
No.
So, like, as more and more of this came out, you know, I went from almost not caring to being like, okay, like, this is something unique. So I went to his YouTube channel. This is after, you know, he'd taken down his apology video and started DMCAing anyone who was reposting anything.
Don't get me started on this, Devin.
Yeah, we'll circle back to that. So I go to his channel and just pull up one of his, you know, more recent videos. And it's just like this, like, video of, like, one of his days. You know, and it's him, like, getting home. He goes to the gym, goes to the grocery store for his mom, gets some food, and then, you know, goes to see, I think, his girlfriend and her son, I think, at the time. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's just, like, this day. Like, yeah, it's edited. Oh, he goes flying drones with his, I think, his brother. You know, and it's clearly, like, this, like, smoothly edited, you know, YouTuber video where, like, of course, it looks, you know, crisp and clean and amazing, because that's just how the internet works. Everyone's life is amazing except for yours. But it just made me so sad, because you're just looking at this guy's family. Like, this guy isn't a monster. He's not in some lair or something. You know, who am I going to steal from next? He's whatever else he is. Like, he's just a dude with a family. You know, you can see on video, like, he has, like, very real, like, good, positive, like, energy, like, with these young people in his lives. Like, with his I believe it's his girlfriend's son. Like, it's Christmas time. And, you know, they're opening presents together, and the kid loves him. And it just makes me so sad, because what he has done, whatever happens down the road for the immediate foreseeable future, like, his career is ash. Like, he doesn't have one.
There was a point where he had a chance to just apologize, bounce back, or just, like, you know, lay low.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, quietly climb back. Like, we see Nick Robinson as, like, in that process. He's putting out great stuff. Like, it's possible. And people, yeah. And, like, time heals all. Except for Bill Cosby, who is trash and dead to you. But, like...
Hey.
Philip Mewson had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And but now, as you're saying, like, his career in games media at the very least is over.
Yeah, and it's not even a matter of kindness or forgiveness. Like, just on a business professional level, like, he is way too much of a liability for any respectable, well-meaning company to have anything to do with him. Like, he could work his butt off, you know, for years, you know, trying to rebuild his reputation. No, you know, IGN, GameSpot, Kotaku, like, no one's taking him on. Like, no one's gonna hire him back on at that level, you know.
No.
Like, it's not gonna happen. And this is where that anger comes in. And Dan Reichert on Giant Bomb actually didn't expect this from him, although it makes sense. He was livid about this, because Dan was one of those kids who, you know, for as long as he could remember, just wanted to be in the gaming industry. And so all through high school, you know, similar to Greg in some sense, Greg Miller, yeah. You know, he found any excuse to play games, to write about games. That Dan, like, wrote, like, over 200 video game reviews, like, in high school, for, like, some local paper who, you know, they didn't care, but they're like, okay, kid, here's your weird space in our paper, write some game reviews. And, you know, he like, literally from the ground up, like, worked his butt off. And you know, Dan Reichert is one of the goofiest, weirdest, most inexplicable humans I've ever, you know, encountered in my life. But when it comes to the job, when it comes to being, like, actually passionate about doing actual work in the actual gaming industry, like, he is literally living out his lifelong dream right now. Yeah. And so him seeing Mewson just, you know, steal that opportunity from someone else, like hearing Dan go off on this was, like, something I had never seen out of him in the past. Like, just this pure, just righteous anger, of just, like, how dare this guy come in, you know, and present himself as, like, this hardworking, you know, independent guy who worked himself from the top, building his own channel, and it's all just lies. It's like, how dare this guy just grind the reputation of everyone else working that way, honestly, just grinding that into the dirt, because that's what's happened now. Everyone who is in a similar situation to Mewson, previous joining IGN, working their YouTube channel, you know, looking for any excuse to write about gaming, you know, local news sites. It's literally tens of thousands, if not millions. Like, that's not an exaggeration. of the people trying. Like, very few people actually make it into the industry.
And they're all trying to get that, like, one spot.
That
opens up once every few years. You might get one spot.
It's, you know, it's come join the merch team, you know, pick up the mail, just get in the door, like literally just get in the door. Yeah. And Musin got a job as a podcast host and an editor.
Yep.
And so that's a big bummer.
He just like skipped all the lines.
Yeah. He was the dream, accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was based on a reputation literally built out of other people's work. Mm-hmm. So the question I actually want to ask you, is, you know, going back to those tens of thousands of people doing similar things on YouTube, in forums, you know, doing freelance work for whatever site will pick them up. Do you think it's possible that the way Musin defended his work as doing research, do you think it's possible that that actually is like a widespread practice?
I think it depends on the person, but I think you're going to find more people who fall in the no camp, who like more people who say that that's not their process. I think when it comes to game reviews or like reviews in general, like what's really important is context. So like understanding maybe the developer and what kind of games that they've produced in the past, like knowing the genre and like other games that are like it.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of this is valuable research that like helps you build a case for why your opinion of this game is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is a lot of really, really like valuable research and context that a reviewer should have if they're being thorough and are hopefully putting their best foot forward for their audience. But reading or watching other people's reviews is not part of that research. And I think in some cases it can be. I will say that for the most part, I don't look at reviews for a game if I'm going to review it. But there have been cases where I'm just like thinking like, I have these thoughts, I have these feelings. I don't have the language to express it. What has someone else said? And like, I've used it to like, see like, how did this person describe this concept that's like hard to describe? And so like, in some cases I will look at a review, but like, I'm not looking for like, I don't know. I I've never used someone else's review.
So in that example, like, so how, so if there was some, I don't know, say you're having trouble describing like the feeling of throwing Kratos' axe in God of War. I don't know, whatever. Like you're just having a hard time kind of capturing, like describing how that feels and why it feels good and why it feels satisfying.
I think
so if you look at someone's reviews for that, like how would you go about reading someone's way of describing that and then transcribing that to your review with, you know, and making it different so that you weren't taking their thoughts as your own?
Yeah, so for me, right, it's like I already know how I feel. I just don't know how to express it maybe in a way that doesn't take three paragraphs, or maybe so like I'm just looking for like language that I can like, I'm just looking at of like how did other people describe the same thing, so like I can like listen to it and it's more or less like validation that it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like really that's what I'm looking for, is like, is it possible to describe this abstract video game thing that's like that like our modern language wasn't designed to describe? Like, have people found words to describe those things? And oftentimes I'm just looking for like, yes, people have found words. And now I need to figure out what my words are. It's just that validation of like knowing that it's possible. That's like helps me push over that writer's block. But it's never that I don't have my own opinions of my own. So it's never a question of like writing my own stuff. It's just knowing that, like, it's just needing that little kickstart, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's pretty clear that's not what Philip was getting out of his research.
No.
He was getting a review out of his research. So what troubles me, and this is kind of where I feel like I'm putting on my grumpy, you know, kids these days face a little bit, is that in thinking about this, I'm wondering if this actually isn't more common than we would like to think it is. You know, clearly, obviously, there are a lot of, you know, independent YouTubers, content creators, whatever, whether it's a podcast or with video or just, you know, their own small sites like Top Shelf Gaming. There are lots of people who are doing it right, who are looking at best practices, who are, you know, going to school or at least, you know, or watching YouTube videos about journalistic ethics and like how you do writing and listening to others and, you know, listening to things that, you know, Greg Miller has said, or Jeff Gerstmann or Austin Walker, you know, people who are as legitimate as they come. But there are so many people doing this and the competition is so high that I wonder if this kind of is pretty widespread. Because, you know, we look at YouTube trends and a lot of it is how fast can you react? How fast can you iterate? How fast can you respond? How fast can you remix something? You know, that's where you get, you know, reaction videos, then reactions to the reactions. You get this endless loop of people. Or you get things like, I hate bringing them up, but like the Paul brothers, where, you know, a lot of their content is just based on them literally just going back and forth with each other. You know, so they're making like this circular content for them to feed off of for each other. And, you know, if you're small, if you're untrained, if you're uneducated, if you haven't actually just been sat down and heard, you can't work this way. You know, you don't know what you don't know. And it seems so obvious that, hey, maybe you shouldn't steal the words out of other people's mouths. But if you actually haven't been told that as a rule, or if you just don't care because you're a 14-year-old kid and you just want views, you know, are you actually going to go out and make sure you're not doing that? And the idea that, you know, with influencers or whatever, there's this idea that if you have the view count, if you have the subscription count, that you're somehow a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And like in a literal sense, yes, you are, because you are getting paid for that work. But having a high viewership is not the same as having training, as having education, as having experience. Exactly. And I think there's this disconnect between
between those two things, because, you know, you can be someone. Well, this kind of bleeds into the ninja thing. You know, I won't go into the ninja thing because that's a whole other topic. You know, but Ninja is a streamer who, just in the past 6 months, has rocketed popularity. And you know, good for him. He is good at gaining an audience, obviously. You know, plus Drake.
That helps.
That helps. Having Drake jump on your stream helps a lot. But, you know, so the guy is making hundreds of thousands of dollars, like, on a weekly, monthly basis doing this. But he didn't receive training along with those viewers. He didn't receive an education in public relations, in business practices, in ethics, in interpersonal communication. You know, and so I think it's one of those things where you have to look at them separately. And maybe IGN just saw a view count, trusted that this guy knew what he was doing because he's got slick editing. He's got, you know, he's got a good face. He's got a good voice. And I think it's easy to fall for the feeling of professionalism versus the reality of having it.
Yeah, and I agree with everything that you're saying here. It's interesting because IGN, you know, they've only been on YouTube for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe a little bit longer, but they were pretty late to the game. They were really hesitant to start living in this YouTube space. But now I only consume IGN content on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and occasionally podcasts on like iTunes.
Yeah.
But like,
or just on YouTube as well.
Yeah. 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 And like, so IGN to me is like a YouTube company, much like Kind of Funny is. And like, you have these media giants like IGN in the same space as your Philip Mewsons, like all of their content is equally accessible through the same website.
Yeah.
And the numbers are comparable. Mm-hmm. Like Philip Mewson got tons of views. And he was hired in a time where like IGN had made a shift in their priorities for their editors to also be on camera talent.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's like new within the last couple years.
Except for Giant Bomb has been doing it for a decade, but hey.
It's true, but.
Yeah, I mean, but Giant Bomb is a whole, like, they kind of started a lot of this. And so, yeah. You know, they were ahead of the curve, whether that was by luck or by design. It was by luck. Jeff Gerstmann will openly admit that a lot of that was just by luck. But no, you're right. A lot of companies, you know, GameSpot's in the same position where they're now just realizing, oh, people like YouTube, people like personalities, people follow personalities.
They want to see faces.
They don't, you know, yeah. They don't want to read articles, you know, written by journalists. They want to watch video made by people they feel that they know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's funny because, you know, it's almost like all these YouTubers still kind of have this dream, not all of them, but some of them, of joining a GameSpot or joining an IGN.
Yeah.
But IGN wants them as well.
It's, yeah.
Like IGN wants their personality. They want their reach. They want their subscribers that aren't going to IGN that are just going to that person's channel. And so it's this weird, like, inner, not interpersonal, interdependent sort of relationship. And I think that may be a factor in kind of why Mewson slipped through the cracks.
I think there's multiple factors.
Yeah. I mean,
but that's one of the big ones is that they, like, they've always hired good writers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see this shift over time, because one of their, like, in the last few years, they hired Alana Pierce, who has been writing about games for 5-6 years now.
Yeah.
But, like, she also had her own YouTube channel, who also had a ton of subscribers, this like really huge reach. She did daily news videos on like on her channel.
I just found out she's like 23.
Dude, she's I'm just like
I was watching her videos and she actually might even be 22. Like she said her age. I was like, there's no way. Like how did you start this? She's the one who's doing it. One of the best ones.
Oh no, she's so just talented. Just so beyond. Like she's raised the bar of what IGN expects, and like she worked herself too hard, which is part of why she left. But my theory is that she's kind of part of that transition.
Sure.
Where she was a writer, but she was also that on-screen personality. And since she was so successful, and like IGN fans loved her and thought she was really, really great. And like, but like, to me, she was one of like the first like quote unquote personality hires.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, and like, it was a really successful hire. So when they were looking for their new Nintendo editor, like, they were looking for more personality and not as concerned with the writing jobs.
Yeah, well, and the technical things too. Is like the dude made videos. He didn't write reviews.
Yeah,
and so like as far as you know, people are saying like, how did they not catch this? You know. Our teachers have been using plagiarism software forever. It's like, yeah, but they do word searches.
Yeah.
You know, you don't do audio. So unless like, you know, Musin's transcribing his videos, which he's not.
He's not.
I mean, he's probably got a Word document because he just copy and paste them. But you know, like it's so much harder to, you know, and you don't expect someone to do that.
No.
Because it's just one of those, like, why would you do this? This is like basic 101 rules here. Like, why would you need to do this?
It just makes me wonder, though, like, what happened in the interview. What did they ask him?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what makes me think that they were hiring him, like, for reasons other than writing. Because there's no way, because everyone sees the videos, but, like, a Nintendo editor, like all of their editors, like they do a crap ton of writing. Like it's like that's their core responsibility, but most people don't know that because they only think of them as like video podcasters. But like it's a writing job first. So that just makes me think, right? Like, okay, this is like their priorities must not have been about writing, because they would have weeded him out, my guess is, like, long before, as soon as they started, like, asking him questions.
Yeah.
So my guess is just that they didn't ask those kinds of questions that would have weeded him out. I don't know, because it just seems like point to his writing portfolio. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
He doesn't have one.
It's like, yeah, you write scripts for videos, but like that's not the same process. It doesn't need the same kind of work to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just so frustrating seeing people fake their way to the top. And like
and also it happens like.
Oh, it happens all the time. It doesn't make it any less disappointing. It's so frustrating every time you see like, oh. Okay, I guess you just...
When you see it so, like...
You just get the pass, and then, you know, you're down here, you know, trying to do it as honestly as you can. It takes forever and it's hard, and you don't do it. You just keep falling down every single time. It's just like,
yeah,
why try?
Yeah.
It's so defeating. Especially for something just this stupid. It's just stupid.
It's all really stupid. Any final thoughts? Anything you just really got to get out there?
No. I am very curious to see if he comes back, if he tries to come back.
Because he's just been radio silent.
He's just been, on his takedown revenge spree. I suspect he will try to Nick Robinson it, and after a while come back to his YouTube channel. And the thing is, like, he'll probably be fine. I think if he tries to come anywhere near a gaming site or, anywhere where he would need to be an employee for a long time, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But honestly, if the dude came back with a YouTube site 2 weeks from now, a month from now, he'd get a lot of crap for it. You know, he'd get people coming in to bother him. Mm-hmm. But he still has tons of fans who still, to this day, are defending him.
Yeah.
Saying either it didn't happen, or, it doesn't matter that it did.
Yeah. It
reminds me a lot of some other very prolific faces in our culture that are getting away with things that their supporters either deny happen, and when they can no longer deny, downplay the importance of it happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if anyone else is experiencing that to any extent, but, I every now and then that pops up.
Yeah.
And so every day. So I don't know what to feel about that, because I don't want the guy, to go die in a gutter somewhere, poor and destitute while his family starves.
No, of course not.
But also, I don't like the idea of someone being able to do something, disrupt the industry this much, create such a harder path forward for so many people trying to do the same thing he did, but do it honestly, and then to just end up getting a pass and be fine.
Yeah.
Like, dude, go work at a grocery store for a while. Like, go work an office job. Like, go start over somewhere else. But he's probably not. He's probably going to come back with a YouTube channel, rebrand, not address it again, ignore the other comments, and just be fine. That's probably what's going to happen.
And I guess that's why I've been so angry. Just as a last thought, it's just like, I just feel like there is no closure in this entire thing. Like, there's a part of me that so badly just wants, like, if it's not justice, whatever justice means,
mm-hmm.
like, I just want him to just say, like, hey, I messed up. I just want some acknowledgement of that.
Yeah.
And instead he's going after people who are calling him out for not doing that. He's like not taking responsibility at all.
Mm-hmm.
And as I sit here with my YouTube channel open and looking at the 20 videos that I've made for Top Shelf Gaming last year with the hours upon hours that I put into all of this work over the 4 years, just making Top Shelf Gaming and like running it and like seeing where it is and not having nowhere as much recognition
mm-hmm.
as Philip, and knowing that there's plenty of people just like me who are putting in the hat work and like not seeing those returns, this is just it's upsetting. And and if not upsetting for me, then for other people and who also are putting in that work. And I just wish there was some sort of acknowledgement from him and we may never get that, and I have to become okay with that. But because I know people just have so many questions, and there's so many people who have been trying to like interview him, and like,
so
I feel like a lot of people are just feel the tension of not having a resolution, and you know what, like that might be where this lays.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with personality-based stuff is like you feel like you know someone, and then you feel like you're owed answers to all your questions.
Yeah,
you know, you see it all the time still. You know, people who follow Greg Miller and or Colin Moriarty, you know, their beef is done. Like between the, like they did their thing. Like they're moving on, but the fans are still, you know, demanding. You know, oh, you guys need to talk. You need to come on each other's shows, you need to do this. And that's like, we're not owed that.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is kind of the other side of that. It's like, I feel like we're maybe a little more owed an answer from Philip here, but also like, we're also not. He got fired from his job. That's public knowledge. Anything beyond that would be very much appreciated, would be helpful to his, you know, acceptance by the community. But it's not required, you know. We're not his family. We're not anybody to him. He doesn't know our names.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he might know mine. I've been tagging him in a lot of tweets, but.
Who hasn't been?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that's kind of a bummer way to end the show. What are you looking forward to? It is what it is.
Yeah.
What's coming up? What are you looking forward to in gaming, besides Spider-Man, coming up?
Well, actually. Right now, the Overwatch All-Star Weekend just started a couple minutes ago, and they're doing a bunch of like really fun things.
Mm.
And so right now, they just started Lucio Ball.
There you go.
And then later on is like 1v1 Widowmakers with the best snipers in the whole league. So like, that's how I'm spending the rest of this day.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm gonna play some games. Don't know what I'm gonna play yet, but I figure I'm hungry. I'm gonna eat some food. Mm. I don't know. I'm just looking forward to Spider-Man at this point. So I'm just killing time with my backlog. But yeah, it's after September 7th, things are gonna start kicking into high gear, and who knows? Maybe we'll have some more audio content in the future.
Yeah,
we'll see.
We'll even see if we can still log into our old
podcast. We'll see. I did check, the podcast feed is still live, so
hopefully we can still log in and they didn't lock us out of it.
Otherwise, we'll see you on YouTube, I guess. Who knows?
Yeah,
we'll get it somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is this the end of episode 35?
This is the end of episode 35.
Okay, well, if you want to check out the content we've put out in the past year, check out topshelfgaming.net, Top Shelf Gaming on YouTube, Top Shelf Gaming on Twitter, and if you want to check into the hashtag Daily Hot Take, we've been using that to just kind of give some immediate reactions to things. Me, myself, you, Marcus, Evan, himself, we've all been kind of partaking in that, so hashtag Daily Hot Take. For some hot takes.
Some sweet, sweet hot takes.
And until next time.
If there is a next time.
There's always a next time. Be cool. Play games. Don't steal people's work.